We've come to the end of the series on Joshua. So if you weren't here last week, you missed out. But it's online. You can watch it anytime. So that's the fun. If you missed one of those, you can go back and you can go check it out and still catch up on that. I really enjoyed doing Joshua. It was a lot of fun. So for the next 3 weeks, I'm just going to do three loose sermons, not doing a series with you, and then we'll start a new series when Advent starts called He Came, when we speak about Jesus who came into this world. So this morning, for those who brought their Bibles with, or those at home who are going to open their Bibles, we're going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, going to read verses 14 to 16. A little later, I'm going to Hebrews chapter 10, going to read verse 19 to 22 with you there. But of course, it will be on the screen both here and for the folks online, it'll be on the screen. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Therefore, now the therefore is kind of the same thing as a but. It says, listen carefully, a biblical but. Let me qualify that. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, that is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Isn't that just beautiful? Because we have Jesus as our high priest, we can hold on to our faith. Not because I am so strong, not because I am so great, because there's Jesus. He is the one who helps me to hold on to that. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet, he did not sin. So, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and we may find grace in our time of need. My friends, what an amazing invitation. When you go home, go take your Bible, go to Hebrews 14, take verse 16, take a red pen and underline that. And once a week, you go read that, because listen again to this invitation. See the picture in your mind. Please, says God, come to my throne. Think about this for 1 second. How many of us have ever been invited to the Prime Minister's office to come sit with him and have a cup of tea? Who of us have ever been invited to the President's office to go sit and have a cup of tea? Just doesn't happen. And they're just regular people like us who have an office. And here's an invitation from God, the God of the universe, God who spoke this world into being, God who knitted you, me, together in our mother's womb, carefully, wonderfully, fearfully, named us, knew us even before we came into this world. God. And God says, hey, Christo, come visit me. Elizabeth, come here. Come talk to me. Come to my throne, because here's the word. It is a throne of grace, where sins are forgiven and forgotten, where mercy is always found, where failures are forgotten and not spoken of anymore. Come, says the Lord. Hank, come on up. come to my throne. It's a place of grace. Do you get that? Can I just say amen? The invitation from God. But then there's a word that I've done a whole sermon on that, and I'm not going to do that on that, on that, on the word again. It says, but when you come to God's throne of grace, the way you should come is with confidence. Thank you, my brother. Come boldly. Don't be afraid. And that beautiful word, confidence, when we did a Bible study on Hebrews a year or so ago, I reminded you, and I said that in church as well, is the word in Greek is paresia. It's a legal term that comes from the old days of the old Greek city-states. And it meant, paresia means, this word confidence, it means that as a citizen of that city, you have the right to go and sit in the meeting of the council. And when you sit in the meeting, you have the right to speak. And when they vote, you have the right to vote in that meeting. That's the objective side of paresia. But it also has a subjective side. And the subjective side says, it only becomes your right the moment you go to the meeting, and you speak in the meeting, and you vote in the meeting, and you use your right. It becomes yours. So today I want to invite you to come to God's throne with confidence, to use your right and do that boldly. Where does this come from? Where does this invitation come from? Let me give you a little background. The book of Hebrews is written by an amazing person. I don't know, this person was a scholar. If you have to read the Greek of the book of Hebrews, it is the most difficult Greek in the whole New Testament. It seems the moment you get to Hebrews, it's like, I forgot all my Greek. I don't understand a word. That's how difficult it is. Scholarly Greek, beautiful. Just don't be like me. I did my doctoral exam for the New Testament on the book of Hebrews. I don't know why. I was foolish, but okay. But part of the book of Hebrews is this scholar was an Old Testament scholar. Knows the Old Testament like no one else. So everything he does, he goes back to the Old Testament and then he says, look at the shadow. Now let me show you how it looks like in Christ. Look at the shadow. So he starts with Moses and he says, Moses was this guy that you guys all like. Look at Jesus. Then he speaks about the priests and the high priest, and he says, look at Jesus. He speaks about the old tabernacle, and he says, look at the tabernacle that God has in heaven. He says, look at the race we're running. Let me give you all the heroes of the old faith, old Adam and Moses. And then he just names them one by one. So he always uses the example from the Old Testament. And our text, the background comes from the Old Testament, when the people of God were slaves in Egypt. And they had no right, and they were oppressed. And then God led them out. And then God comes, and in the book of Leviticus, God makes them this beautiful promise. Leviticus 26:13 says, and it's not going to be on the screen because I didn't give it to Ted. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I brought you out of Egypt so that you will no longer be a slave. And now listen to what he says. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your heads held high. They would understand this image way better than we do. When you were a slave, they would always put all of their burdens on you. You would have to carry everything. And what did that do to you? It bent you over, and you were always walking like this. Your head was always down because of all of the burdens that were put on your shoulders and your back, like the yoke that they put on oxen to keep them where they want them. God says, I broke those. But the other part of a servant or a slave was this too. When you came into the presence of your owner, you would not look up and look them in the eye. You would always take your head down and you would look down because you did not have the right as a slave to look at them because you were not their equal or the same as them. God says, I break those yokes. And I take those burdens off of your shoulders. But I'm doing much more than that. I will also restore your dignity, that you may walk with your head and you may look everyone in the eye. And that's exactly what Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16 is all about when he speaks about us. Where God says to each one of us, you can walk to my throne because this is what I've done to you. I have taken the yoke of your sin and your brokenness that was pushing you down. I've taken that all away. It's gone. And now you can come and you can come stand before my throne and you can look up and you can look me in the eye with confidence. That's what God did for each one of us. When the devil comes to you and he wants to put those burdens on your shoulder, you tell him to take a hike. Never going to do that again because God took them away in Jesus Christ. When the devil tells you that you can't walk to God's throne of grace and look God in the eyes because of all the stuff, you tell him to take a hike because God said, I'm okay. And I'm allowed to look my God in the eye. Why? Why did God do this? Because God knows that all of us need a place where we can just go and just speak and just be who we are and know that we are loved and cared for and we are heard. And so God made a way. How did he do that? Did you read those verses? Verse 14, 15. He says, we have a high priest who is in heaven with God. And there my Jesus stands and Jesus advocates for me every moment of every day. Uses again the Old Testament image. Do you remember Leviticus? The Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Once a year, the old high priest had the right to go into the Holy of Holies with fear and trepidation, with a rope around his leg, because if he did something wrong in there, he would die, and they had to pull him out, because if you went in there, you would die, because no one else except the whole high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. That's how scary God was for them. He could go in there once a year with blood to go do atonement for the sins of the people. And then they'd have to pray and hope, well, we hope we make it through the year without. He says, we have a high priest who's gone right into the Holy of Holies and he's standing there with Father God. And every moment he is saying your name to Father God. And when I come and I say, Father knows it's Aubrey. And he knows exactly what's going on in my life. He knows what it is to live in this world. He walked this earth. He's been here. He knows that some days it's really difficult for me to walk with my head held up high. He knows that some days I tend to take those sins and those old things and I put them back on my shoulders and I'm weighted down by them. He gets that. He knows because he walked this earth. He knows because he saw us. And because of that, says the book of Hebrews, he empathizes with me. He knows what's going on. And so he doesn't do this. He does this. He invites me to come closer. So here's the thing. Are you going through trials? He's been there. Are you struggling with sin? He understands that. Are you struggling with temptations? He's been there. Are you struggling sometimes with your faith? He understands that and loves you and holds you and says, come, come stand here at the throne of grace. Can I say those words again? The throne of grace. Because here's the thing that makes you sing, what a glorious day when I met Jesus. Because when I understand what he did, my life changes. And I've said this a million times, and can I say this a million times over? It was the most amazing day in my life when I started understanding God's grace and this invitation and what Jesus did. Because the throne of grace is a place where I can come and receive grace, not condemnation. Where I receive mercy and not judgment. Where I'm called into God's arms to be held and don't see God standing with a finger pointing at me and I am cringing and I have to come before this throne and I come with my tail between my legs and I'm so afraid because I don't know what punishment God is going to give me. That's Satan's lies. Jesus died on the cross and became my high priest through his blood and washed me and cleansed me so the child of God can walk to the throne of grace with confidence and receive mercy, grace, love, and care and know that I belong to God. For so long in my life, I told you, I grew up with this stupid thing in my heart that God has a book that is writing every little thing of my life down that I messed up. And when I stand before God one day, God's going to open this little book. No, I think mine will be volumes. And he's going to read all of that stuff. And I'll have to stand there and receive all my punishment for that. That's how I grew up. What a lie from Satan. Colossians says, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that book with all of that junk was washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ and does not exist anymore. So says the Word of God. Let us then approach the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, and there we will receive what God has in store for us. Grace and mercy and forgiveness and acceptance and love. Wow. Isn't that a gift, Cornelia? We don't have to be punished. It's done. We don't have to be broken. It's done. I can go. And I can ask, Father, forgive me. Because I've messed up. And I will receive forgiveness. I did that just a week or so ago. I was going through a tough time. And all kinds of stuff going on in my head about the church and what's happening to the church and what's going to happen after COVID. And I was all over the place. And it was killing me. I didn't sleep. And I went and sat before my Father's throne. And I wept. And I said, Father, please forgive me. Because I sinned. It's your church. It's not mine. It's been there since 1880. And you have taken care of it through so many things. And so now I'm thinking, what's going to happen? Where's people? What's going to happen to... Boy, who am I? It's your church. It belongs to you. I am sorry. And you know what? My father didn't chase me away. My father didn't laugh at me and point a finger and say, yeah, you're a failure as a minister. Father said, thank you for the visit. It was good to see you. I'm glad you're back. Go do your work. Because he'll take care of the church. It's not my problem. We'll just do what God wants us to do. But that's how it works. I could go to that throne and I wasn't scared. I could say it all. Father, I can't do this on my own. It's tough. This COVID-19 is tough for so many of us. Father, I can't do this. Take my hand. And Father says, it's your hand. I'm going to take your hand. Let's walk. Father, I just need a little bit of your love. And Father holds and loves. That's what his throne is all about. So let me finish. The second part of this is, why does God do this for us? Why does God want us to do this? Because God says, I give you the permission, the parousia, the confidence, the boldness to come. I give that to you, so please do that. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, there's that other biblical but word. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, which God has given us, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. There's that Leviticus 16, Day of Atonement thing again. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is Jesus' body. And since we now have a great priest over the house of God, this is what God wants us to do. Let us draw near to God. Come on, says Father God. With a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings to us, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. God says, what are you waiting for? Come on. Come talk to me. Eugene Peterson, when he translates this, I love the way in which he writes this. It's just kind of, it's got a conversation. He says, so friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. This curtain into God's presence is his body. So, let's do it. Full of belief. Confident that we are presentable inside and out. So let's do it. Let's walk right into God. Don't hesitate. Can I invite you to go walk and to go live who you are with your head held high? I look forward to meeting you at God's throne of grace. Amen. Thank you for your invitation, Lord. Thank you for reminding us that we are no longer slaves. For you have broken those chains, you've broken those burdens, and we have been washed and made brand new. We don't wear the clothes of slaves anymore. We are kings and queens that belong to our Father, bought by Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as some days we stumble and struggle, thank you that you don't push our heads into the ground, that you actually come and you do exactly what you did when you walk this world, Lord Jesus. You stop and you take time and you lift us up. And you walk with us until we're strong again to walk on our own. For that's just who you are. We're not slaves, Lord, because your blood runs through our veins. We are your children. God's children. Thank you. Help us then to walk the way that you have made us to walk. Upright, so that we can see your face. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.